Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
What are voters going to decide? Either way, this continues to divide people, regardless of which side they're on. So there's just a lot of sadness, anxiety, and uncertainty as we approach what could be an extraordinary summer in our nation's history.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's your host, Vince Petrano.
On a Friday morning, 8:12 on Wisconsin's Morning News. I have to admit, I'm surprised by this. I'm not encouraging it one way or another, just surprised. WTMJ talk and text line is 855-616-1620. Virtually no comments on any of the former President Donald Trump coverage. On the 34 convictions, no. Usually, if you just mention the former president or anything going on, regardless of your take or what the story is or whatever, unprompted, we'll get texts in support, texts with hate and why are you doing this and whatever. And whatever. Even if we don't ask for them, they just come through the text line. I'm a little bit surprised with all the coverage that we've given of the conviction that folks have not responded. I don't know if people are just exhausted by the whole story.
I will say, when I was listening to our teammate Steve Scafidi during the special extended political power hour yesterday, and there was a lot coming through at that point. I think in the instant reaction, you just finally let it out. Like, this has finally happened. Here's what I have to say. But to your point, there is fatigue. We see with, I mean, this has been going on, and for all of this year, a good portion of last year, and it's not done yet. I mean, I know the convictions are in, but we're not done with this story.
So let's move it forward here. Former President Donald Trump planning a 10 o'clock hour time news conference. He's planning, telling reporters to gather outside Trump Tower in New York. Sentencing on those 34 felony convictions scheduled just days before he is due to accept the GOP nomination for president. Obviously, at the Republican National Convention right here in Milwaukee this summer.
As this is coming in from our team in the courtroom in Manhattan. Guilty on 26. Guilty on 27.
Yeah, kind of an extraordinary moment to follow in history, regardless of your thoughts on it. ABC News reporting the verdicts live Thursday afternoon, and we've talked about this. See, here in Wisconsin, we're used to seeing the inside of a courtroom. We're used to seeing a judge read the verdicts as they come down. The TV stations carry it live. We bring you the audio here on WTMJ. They don't allow cameras in the courtroom in New York in large part, so we've relied on sketches and reporters explaining what's happened, what it was like there in court. So that's how that verdict came down and how we all were able to consume it. That sentencing due to come July 11th. So the former president faces the open question of prison time. Let's get to that first. There is disagreement among folks in the legal community over whether that's truly in play. Local defense attorney Julius Kim, he thinks it is in play. It is possible, and that the decision obviously is in the hands of the judge here in New York.
His background, his character can be considered in sentencing him. So whether that hurts him ultimately or helps him ultimately is, you know, something that Judge Merchan is going to have to decide. But I can tell you, I'm starting to cringe thinking about all the times that, you know, Trump has been lambasting Judge Merchan outside the courtroom right now, knowing that Judge Merchan now can sentence him.
There's no question former President Trump is a difficult defendant. If you're an attorney, right?
To say the least.
Because he wants to do things his way, and attorneys can, he's not easily persuaded by anybody, much less even his own attorney. So to Julius Kim's point there, he's been a difficult defendant. He's tangled with the judge. He's said things, and there was the gag order, all of this stuff. Now, that's not supposed to affect really how the judge makes his decision. Nonetheless, in terms of sentencing, nonetheless, that's all out there. Kim was talking with Wisconsin's Afternoon News. Also spoke with former state Supreme Court Justice here in Wisconsin, Jeanine Geske. She sees prison time as far less likely.
It's worse than a white-collar crime, but it's a white-collar crime where you don't have a specific victim. He obviously has no prior record. I think that there may be conditions, and they may put him on supervision for a period of time, but I really don't think that the government's going to ask to incarcerate him, and that would cause such problems, not to mention what it would do to the country to have him booked and put into a cell somewhere.
Quickly, a question that just came in on the WTMJ talk and text line. I'm conservative and I'm happy, but if these are felonies, how can he still run for president? There's nothing in the law or the Constitution that states someone who's convicted of a felony cannot run for president. There are particular crimes for which someone could have been convicted that would bar that individual from running for president, but the law allows for him to continue to run. So outside of how this affects him politically, there's nothing legally that says he can't continue his candidacy.
Now, what does get a little bit more complicated is, can he then vote for himself? Because typically, once you are a convicted felon, you lose the right to vote for public office. So that raises a very interesting point of, can a person who is running for office as a convicted felon vote for themselves? And by the nature of the law, you would think the answer is no, but I'm sure there are other variables at play here.
So what about appeal? Let's address that next. You can't expect an appellate court to even hear your case, much less overrule a jury decision, simply because you as the defendant didn't like the verdict. So the former president and his legal team will need some legal grounds to suggest that the trial was unfair, the judge was unfair, or execution of the trial was not done properly. So what might that look like as the president's legal team, former president's legal team, starts to lay out? Former Justice Geske again on that.
I think it's very unlikely that it'll be reversed. You know, the change of venue, I mean, you couldn't try that case anywhere that people don't know about it. So the only thing that, you know, the argument is, well, it's not fair that, you know, that there's so many Democrats in New York. Well, you know, they got to question the jury. They filled out jury questionnaires. They got to pick them. And so I don't think the change of venue, those are discretionary decisions by the judge. And as long as he gave good reasons, which I think he did, I don't think that's reversed. You know, objection, Stormy Daniels wandering in her testimony and going beyond. But, you know, the defense lawyer, for some reason, didn't object to some of those questions. So, you know, usually what will happen is that they'll say that the objection was waived because there was no objection. So I don't see that there's any strong argument for a reversal on appeal, but, you know, you never know.
A lot of different opinions on that. That's former State Supreme Court Justice Jeanine Geske. Former President Trump, defiant as he has been through the trial, planning to speak, as we said, later this morning. You'll expect to hear a lot more of things that you've already heard. Virtually every day that he came down to the courthouse, he would either address reporters before or after the day's proceedings, or both. Like him or don't like him, agree with him or disagree with him, agree or disagree with the verdict. I think it's important, and we always get complaints when we let the president, former president, run on and say, why do you even put him on there? He lies, or whatever. Or why didn't we hear enough of him? So we're not going to make everyone happy here, but I think it's important that you hear from him. He's going to be the GOP nominee for president.
And to that end, so now looking ahead also, remember, this sentencing is happening the Friday before the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. So regardless of what Judge Merchant says, there's going to be that immediate first reaction is going to happen right here in downtown Milwaukee. And so you have to think, okay, what does that look like? And now there are going to be a lot of parameters. We've talked ad nauseum about that on this show. You just wonder, what is the sentiment and the vibe, if you will, going to be once that sentencing is officially unveiled?
So let me give you former President Trump just after those verdicts were read. I let this go about a minute here. So here's his statement.
We didn't do a thing wrong. I'm a very innocent man. And it's okay. I'm fighting for our country. I'm fighting for our Constitution. Our whole country is being rigged right now. This was done by the Biden administration in order to wound or hurt an opponent, a political opponent. And I think it's just a disgrace. And we'll keep fighting. We'll fight till the end and we'll win because our country's gone to hell. We don't have the same country anymore. We have a divided mess. We're a nation in decline, serious decline. Millions and millions of people pouring into our country right now. From prisons and from mental institutions, terrorists, and they're taking over our country. We have a country that's in big trouble. But this was a rigged decision right from day one with a conflicted judge who should have never been allowed to try this case, never. And we will fight for our Constitution. This is long from over. Thank you very much.
Reporters shouting questions that the former president did not answer. I'm not aware as to whether or not he plans to take questions today at his news conference. Now that the trial is said and done, he can pretty much say what he wants. And whether or not that ultimately affects his sentencing would remain an open question as well. The former president's remarks set for later this morning. The other thing, I mentioned the text line off the top. The other common theme that I'm seeing from a lot of folks, regardless of where they stand on the outcome here and what the verdict was, is just a sadness. Because this is, regardless of where you fall on this, a difficult time for our country. These are difficult days and weeks ahead. There are possibly open constitutional questions that can still approach after the former president gets once again the GOP nomination. What are voters going to decide? Either way, this continues to divide people, regardless of which side they're on. So there's just a lot of sadness, anxiety, and uncertainty as we approach what could be an extraordinary summer in our nation's history. The former president's remarks coming up at 10 o'clock, our time, outside Trump Tower in New York.
Come with me now. Walk, go with me now. I'm gonna take you down. Walk,
marching into your Friday morning, 8:26 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Eric off today, Adam Roberts in the house in his stead.
So, Vince, I wanted to follow up on this story. You may recall about a week ago we were talking about a fire on the city of Milwaukee's south side. It was around 1st and Concordia, a vacant home that people in the neighborhood were saying was often occupied by those that are without a home, homeless people. And they said that the fire started and it eventually burned over into a neighboring house. Now, the people who live in that home, they say they are being charged by the city for fire damages to a fire that was not their fault. And the family, the person in particular, her name is Natalie Gutierrez, and she talked with TMJ4 News, saying they got a notice in August from the Department of Neighborhood got a note from the Department of Neighborhood Services to repair their home by August.
The hypocrisy is right there.
The notice says the Gutierrez family needs to take care of the fire damages with their own money.
I think it's kind of a bogus that they're able to do a citation right away and they can't even give us a proper apology for what has happened.
So it's an interesting point because as we've heard from the city over and over again, especially recently, it made a point of we want to tear these vacant houses down. There's a lot of them, no matter where you are in Milwaukee, just homes that do not have an occupant and they need to be torn down for new development or what have you. Yet this Natalie woman says that this house has been, they've asked, they've reached out to get it torn down multiple times and there has been no response. And I found interesting about this. So TMJ4's Megan Lee was on this story and she says that Gutierrez told her about that reach out to the city. Hey, get this house torn down. And there was no response. So like you, Vince, often refer to in saying, I want to see your work. Check your work. What did you do? So she laid that out.
A spokesperson for DNS confirmed the building was on the city's list to be razed, but they were waiting on We Energies to turn off the gas. So I reached out to We Energies. The company tells me in an email it received an initial request from the city for electric and gas removal back on March 13th. But the city failed to fill out the required paperwork to continue the process last summer.
So it seems like things just kind of fallen through the cracks once again, and we've definitely seen this before.
Boy, I can feel her frustration. I mean, here you are. Neighbors have complained about this vacant house for how long? They don't see any action. They don't see any action. They don't see any action. Now you have MPD, Milwaukee Department of Neighborhood Services. Sorry, we have so many failing institutions right now that we've been having in the news. Now you have Department of Neighborhood Services who couldn't check the basic boxes of doing their jobs, reportedly. Now they might have a defense to that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, sounds like they just didn't do the necessary follow-up according to We Energies. They're like, yeah, we'll shut it off. You just got to fill out the paperwork correctly. Now this house lights on fire, causes damage to this poor woman's home. And then on top of it, the city has the audacity to come in and slap her with a citation. A problem that should never have happened.
While they're unable to live in this house, because anytime a house, even as minor fire damage, the fire department's going to tell you, you got to get out. Can't have you here.
Sure. Understood. You
know, so they're working on this Natalie Gutierrez from a hotel room. And so they've been given that deadline of August 21st to make these damages while they're not even able to live in their house at this time. So we're going to keep an eye on this because there's a lot of elements to this story. I'm going to follow up with this, I think, in the future.
And even if you look at, okay, whose fault is it? We need to sort all of this stuff out. Who asked who, what, when? Okay, fine. You'll have to sort that out. But for Natalie to have some expectation that these departments are at least talking to each other and to at least say, here's a family struggling with something, like before you go out there and write that ticket, ask a few questions and see if that's really necessary right now, or can we at least contact that family and see what we're dealing with here? There's maybe more to the story, but no, here it is. I'm sorry, you got till August. Here's your ticket. 8:31 on Wisconsin's Morning News. 8:39 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Vince, we've got a, how do you spell it? W-I-N-N-E-R. That spells winner in case you're keeping score at home.
12-year-old Bruhat Soma from Tampa, Florida, spelled 29 words correctly in 90 seconds in a dramatic tiebreaker or spell-off to win the trophy and more than $50,000 in cash and prizes.
Wow. What a night. What a performance. What a finish. And a standing ovation for Bruhat Soma.
The bee was broadcast on ION. Bruhat had won three consecutive lower-level spelling bees before arriving at the National Spelling Bee in suburban Washington. Christopher, C-R-U-I-S-E, CBS News.
I get it. See what you did there?
I always love when the national reporters get to have a little bit of a tweak with their story. Because Christopher Cruz, like, he's very serious. I'm Christopher Cruz, so that's
fun. So Bruhat was in this, what, like a playoff lightning round, because they had the Scripps thing ended in a tie like several years in a row, right? One time they ran out of words.
So now
they fixed it up.
So they do the lightning round, 90 seconds, spell as many as you can. And these are not just chew-in words either. It's not just like spell cat, spell dog, spell pizza.
Even that.
But yeah, because, yeah, would you?
I don't know.
The one that always got me was tongue. And you know what's crazy? We all did a spelling bee when we were in elementary school. I feel like everyone did a spelling bee at one point, even if it's just one time in fourth grade. The one that sticks with me is tongue. In fourth grade, it's T-O-N-G-U-E, but it doesn't sound like tongue.
Yeah.
So it still sticks with me, and I still spell tongue wrong sometimes in Scripps or whatever to this day.
So they figured that problem out. I love that lightning round. And and actually pretty sizable trophy, too. Did you see him hoisting that trophy?
Yeah,
good looking
snazzy
trophy. Looks good. 8:41 on Wisconsin's Morning News. I've got to leave before I start to scream. Pull some out the door and
take the key. You're feeling all right. Oh-oh. I'm not feeling too good myself. Oh-oh. Yes, 8:45, Wisconsin's Morning News.
Concern the Milwaukee Public School System is collapsing before our very eyes. MPS board pushing out its vote now. It was supposed to vote Thursday night on the upcoming school year budget. Now that vote has been pushed amid reports this week. The federal funding for Head Start programs is suspended over concerns of mistreatment of students. State funding in jeopardy because MPS administrators literally failed to do their homework. Fiery meeting Thursday night at MPS headquarters.
No, we're in a horrible position right now financially. Horrible. And the board had no clue. And I hate that we wasn't given this information.
And that guy's on the school board.
Yeah.
That wasn't angry parent out in the crowd. They were well represented. But that guy's on the board. That's board director Daryl Jackson. He's saying the Board of Education, MPS school board, had no idea that MPS is 8 months late on submitting financial reports to the State Department of Public Instruction. Those were due back in September.
Let's talk about it. Give us the dollar amount, Marva. How much he's screwing over MPS this time?
Shame! You will not.
This is happening at the meeting. TMJ4 News there. That's people openly shouting at the board. Also present, MPS Superintendent Keith Posley, who got booed at the start of the meeting. They called the cops. Eight police officers showed up to the meeting trying to get control of things so they could continue with the business.
I know these school board meetings can be contentious. We've talked about them in other districts, but whenever it's MPS, it almost always has some moment like this. But this was even beyond the pale for that.
And I'll grant you this. MPS has often been a punching bag. Some criticism fair, some not. But this mess is other level.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind, this is not state Republicans in the legislature, people who don't live in Milwaukee complaining or, you know, criticizing the city or MPS. This is the Biden administration's Department of Education, state DPI led by Democrat Superintendent Jill Underley. This is way beyond usual complaints. The Milwaukee Metropolitan Association of Commerce, I thought, put it pretty succinctly. They, as you recall, openly campaigned against the $250 million referendum that just passed this spring. Out with the important question, essentially, wouldn't it have been nice to know, for voters to know how big this mess is before they threw all that additional money at what is fairly questioned as a failing system. We found out days after that referendum passed that despite it, MPS was still planning to cut nearly 300 jobs. We found out some of those are going to be classroom positions. Now we find out federal and state funding in jeopardy because they're not doing the basics, filing financial reports, taking care of students. This isn't test scores or performance. That's open for debate about why there are causes there. These are basics of the job that aren't getting done. I'll read you just a little bit from the news release from MMAC. School districts' noncompliance with federal and state statutes should have been disclosed to Milwaukee taxpayers, the majority of whom are working families, before they were asked to increase the district's budget by more than $250 million annually in April. In this statement, we now ask the Milwaukee Public School Board to investigate the matter and hold those responsible fully accountable. A deep, independent performance audit of the district must be conducted and the results made public. Board has scheduled a special meeting for Monday, June 3rd, 8:48 on Wisconsin's Morning News. . 8:52, Wisconsin's Morning News, WTMJ forecast, sponsored by Dave Dre Camp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition. Nice one today, high of 78 degrees. Bit cooler near the lake, right now 58 in Milwaukee. We bring in host of the Political Power Hour, WTMJ's Steve Scafidi, who was pressed into action with that verdict on Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, busy news day, of course. Everybody was talking about it. Donald Trump, 34 felony counts. And I had the great fortune to spend a couple hours with some great guests last night. We brought back some of the great content that was done earlier by John and Julia. Obviously, a landmark day in our country's history. First president convicted of a crime, 34 felony counts. So it was an interesting night. We're going to be talking about that for the next hour with Bill McCosh and Joe Sopecki. Bill joined me last night. Bill's a Republican strategist, former chief of staff for Tommy Thompson during his tenure as Wisconsin governor. And Bill used the term national disgrace, sad for America. And in many ways, whatever your politics are, I think that's the right way to look at it. There's, you know, cheerleading for any of this is probably not a good look by either side.
We have gotten a lot of texts this morning, and the resounding theme, as you mentioned, is tired and sad.
Yeah, it's just not a good look. This is a serious moment. Whatever you think about the New York case, the charges that were brought, financial transactions between a candidate at the time and a porn star, I mean, salacious details. Whenever the National Enquirer is involved in anything, it's going to be have that feel and that ugliness to it. But at the end of the day, a jury of his peers in New York State said he was guilty, and they only spent 12 hours deliberating. And by the way, there was two attorneys on that jury. I'm guessing they know their way around the law, and they were able to sort out the details in a pretty quick fashion.
The open question as to whether or not the former president would do jail time is interesting. I would, if I had to say percentage-wise basis, about 70% of the people, experts, pundits that I'm hearing from are suggesting that is absolutely out of the question. There is some percentage you say, it could be, and they're weighing some of the former president's behavior in court during the trial, his dust-ups with the judge. How do you see that playing out?
I don't see him spending a moment in a jail cell. Now, I do see a judge who is not going to be very kind to him after the treatment he's received, and that really probably shouldn't play into it. But as we know, everyone has some sort of a vengeful piece of their brain that says, you know what, this is someone needs to be punished for his actions. Now, what do I think will happen to Donald Trump if these convictions stand at some point? Because we have sentencing July 11th. We'll find out then what the penalty will be. I don't think he's going to spend a moment in a jail cell, but I do think he'll be confined, limited in his actions and maybe his travel. And for a person running for president, that's not a good thing.
That's an interesting point. As for right now, you know, we talked with ABC News' Peter Haralambos, who has been covering the trial gate to gate. There are no additional restrictions on the former president's movement at the moment. He has to wait for that sentencing.
Right.
So in the meantime, he can hit the campaign trail. In fact,
he will
do hard already last night.
Yeah, yes. He's not going to waste any time between now and July 11th. A fascinating thing, and I think I was talking with one of my teammates yesterday afternoon, right before I jumped on the air at 6. This is all happening, the sentencing, right before the RNC comes to Wisconsin. And we've already, you know, we all consider this a moment in the sun, right? This is our big moment to shine. All eyes. I got a call from the BBC at 11 o'clock last night asking me to comment on this. That's how big this story is. The RNC is coming to Milwaukee. And 1 week prior, the present, former president of the United States, Donald Trump, will be sentenced for 34 felony counts. Big, big story.
We expect to hear from former President Trump. He's asked reporters to gather outside Trump Tower in New York for remarks at 10 o'clock our time. The Political Power Hour with WTMJ's Steve Scafidi up next here on WTMJ.